Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Bulls got some good news today, and boy, do they need it. Bobby Portis, Chris Dunn will both return tonight for the first time since October. Bulls are put a weekend of controversy behind them. Bulls and Kings at the United Center. Bulls pregame live kicks off our coverage at 6:30 with Mark Schanowski. Game time at 7 on NBC Sports Chicago. It's streaming on the My Teams app. Sports Talk Live is on location at the United Center, and it is Authentic Fan Night. Make sure to cheer your Bulls fandom using the hashtag Authentic Fan. Your photos might be showing during tonight's game. We'll tip those festivities off right now. And good evening and welcome in to the atrium here at the United Center. I hope you had a really good weekend. I'm David Kaplan. Everything is always brought to you by our great partners with the Chevy Silverado. We've got David Haw, David Schuster, so it's three Davids, and Mark.
There you go.
Mark Schanowski, our host of our Bulls coverage. We'll get to Bears in a little bit, but we got to start with, you know, there's been a little bit of drama around here.
Yeah, you'd say that again.
A 56-point loss, and then we might not practice. Coaching change 7 days ago, and we're going to run the players and sub out five at a time. What's going on?
Well, I think it's a coach who's the direct opposite of Fred Hoiberg trying to institute. He's in charge. New sheriff in town. He wants to run things his way. And I think it was really interesting. Jim Boylan met the media about 45 minutes ago, and he said, I fully expected this. I realized that I was changing the way that the team was going to be run. I expected some pushback from the players, and he thinks that's the only way that they can eventually get to be the team that they want to be. It's a young team without a lot of veteran leadership. He was given the okay by management to come in and institute a lot of tough, hard practices, and he said that he was waiting for some pushback from the players. It came in the first week. He said, now we can talk it out, we can resolve our issues, and we can move forward. He felt like it was absolutely necessary to have that kind of meeting with the players so that they can get to where they need to go.
It's a fascinating social experiment. It really is, to watch this guy trying to implement his ways during the season with a young team that needs the direction and maybe the discipline. The problem is, I don't know that you can afford to have experiments at the professional sports level. That's the thing. I just listened to Jim Boylan, and I was really drawn by how sincere his intentions really are. I mean, this is the way that he wants to build this team. This is the way that he wants to form these players. I just don't know if it's going to work. This is the NBA. These are millionaires. I think there's going to be a lot more pushback, and even if they get through this first hump, I don't know what is ahead, Dave, because I think that the further you go, this is a hard week to undo, and I think there might have been some damage, even as valuable as yesterday really was.
And I was also part of that confab with Jim Boylan a short while ago downstairs, and the gist of that for me was, it's my way or the highway, in essence. I don't know what kind of punishment he can give to these players other than these 2.5-hour practices, but he's got a mandate from both ownership and, of course, from John Paxson.
Playing time.
To do well, that's the one way for sure. But I also look at it this way, and maybe this is a good analogy and maybe it's not. If you've ever gone out with somebody on a date the first week and you're fighting with her in the first week, in the long run, are you going to be dating her in the long run? I don't think you are. So I think
Shoes speaking from personal experience.
Actually, I am.
I'm not even going to go there. Here is Jim Boylan on management having his back.
It means the world to a guy in this situation that they believe in me, first of all, to do this, but also that they believe in the way that I think it should be done is great. You know, there's no differing philosophy on how we're going to do this and what we think is important. So it's very freeing to know that we can coach this team. You know, with passion and emotion and directness. So it's great.
All right, so he's confident. You guys were down there.
Mm-hmm.
He's confident that management has his back. Look, I'm older. I'm 58. I'm not a millennial at age 20 making, you know, huge money. But I was always raised, if the coach says, hey, you're running sprints, you're running sprints. If the coach says this, you're doing.
But that's not the reality in today's NBA.
Correct. So my question is, can this work?
I don't know, because Zach LaVine was stung by a lot of the criticism that he received from Jim Boylan. You know, in the span of a few days, Jim Boylan questioned their competitive attitude, their toughness, their conditioning level, basically saying,
other than that,
these guys
great.
Are stealing,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
So you know, for a guy who works as hard as Zach LaVine does, who worked hard all summer to get back to being an elite-level player after the ACL surgery, he doesn't want to hear a coach tearing him down and lumping him in with a big group and saying, well, you guys aren't working hard enough. He takes a lot of pride in what he does. The instance on Saturday where he took five in, five out on two different occasions, especially early in the second half when the Bulls were still being competitive with the Boston Celtics, that stung Zach. And he doesn't want to hear the coach lumping him in with everybody else and saying, these guys need to work harder. They need to go through longer practices. They need to be more competitive.
He's got to show some give. I think that it's culture shock right now because it was such a laissez-faire attitude with Fred Hoiberg. Now the guy comes in from day one. He's as subtle as a sledgehammer. I mean, and you're going at it right away, and I don't know that that was the smartest way to – I think you're going to see the meat in the middle. And when you have that, you're right, these are proud young veterans, but they're still professional athletes. There is a union that protects them from, you know – practices that are too long.
And Yahoo reported that players went to the union to say the practices were unfair.
And Boylan did confirm that, and he said he didn't have any problem with
that. He said he was fine with it.
Because that's their prerogative, which it is the player's prerogative. You know, it's a player's league. The NBA may be more than any other professional sport. It's a player's league. You can't push these guys too hard. At some juncture, they will rebel.
But here's the one thing. Here's the one thing about this team, and, you know, professional athletes always want to know where they stand with coaches, whether at any level. They're never going to wonder with Jim Boylan. I think at some point, I wonder if that's going to be something they respond to, because he wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't a problem before. He wouldn't be doing this if he didn't have management's blessing.
All right, we'll get back to more Bulls, but big story in town on the field, the fact that the Bears defense completely shut down the high-flying Los Angeles Rams, who many feel is the best team in the National Football League. They picked off Jared Goff four times and won the game 15-6. The Monsters terrorized the Rams, a perfect way to characterize this thing. Look, I watched that game last night. You guys watched that game last night. They were never, ever not in control from the defensive side of things.
Look, the Rams came in averaging 35 points and left with two field goals. That was a dominant performance. That was a, you know, that a statement that said defense can still win championships. The Bears stopped the run and they ran the football. They won the old-fashioned way. They earned it. That's a very good team that can feel like they can beat anybody.
You know what's really interesting, guys? You know, some of the Ram players after the game last night thought it was sort of fluky that they lost to the Bears. Guess what? I got a feeling these two teams are going to match up in game two of the postseason. The Bears will probably host a game here initially.
That'll be in L.A., though, Dave.
That'll be
in
L.A.
Yeah, a little different.
And the circumstances will be different. The weather will obviously be different. It'll be really interesting if these two teams rematch the second time around.
That defense reminded me of the mid-'80s Chicago Bears. I mean, that was how dominant they were. Jared Goff didn't want to be out there.
No.
Through four interceptions, he looked totally flummoxed. He had no idea what was going on around him, and he played very poorly. That was a dominant effort.
And there was a moment when Amukamara was being tended to by the trainers. It was a 30 to 45 second break till he got up and got off the field. Jared Goff, who's playing at that moment, went and put a jacket on to stand on the sidelines till he went back on. And I went, that guy's beaten.
Him,
absolutely beaten. All right, here's our James and Sons Fine Jewelers Diamonds in the Rough. This is how dominant the Bears' defense was. Rams' offense had only 214 yards of total offense. Their worst performance this season before last night was 339. They had just 14 first downs, six fewer than the previous low. Meanwhile, Jared Goff set new season-worst performances in the interceptions, passer rating, passing yards, and Todd Gurley's 28 rushing yards, 14 fewer than his worst game in 2018. On top of it all, the Rams, that vaunted high-octane offense, had just two drives all night long, longer than 19 yards.
And the Bears possessed the ball for 36 minutes, Cap. I mean, when you have the ball for 36 minutes, you're going to control the football game. They stopped the run, and Todd Gurley wasn't the NFL's leading rusher. He was just another guy last night, and that's because of the Bears' defense.
And guys, one of the most impressive things to me was the Bears were able to run the football. I mean, the fans and the media have been barking for this for weeks now. Jordan Howard going over the century mark last night. And it will be important as you go down the stretch in some of these bigger games.
Hey, they survive a shaky effort by Mitchell Trubisky, and they still win easily. I mean,
correct.
Trubisky was rusty after missing the last two games. He was overthrowing receivers. He turned the ball over three times. And yet you had the feeling, as you mentioned, at no point did you worry about them losing that game because you knew the Rams weren't going to score unless there was a lucky play along the way.
Yeah, fluky play. Yeah. Here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. And here's what we're asking you. Will you be disappointed if the Bears don't at least make the Super Bowl?
Oh, wow.
At this point.
That's a big jump there.
See, I think you can adjust your goal chart. Okay, win a playoff game. If you don't, that's going to be a disappointing season. Yeah. They proved last night they can think in terms of a Super Bowl. They can think they're good enough to get there. They're good enough to win the NFC. No question about that. But if you don't get there the first year of a head coaching regime, you're not disappointed. You're encouraged by everything that's happened this year.
You might have to play in New Orleans and at the Rams back-to-back in
order
to get,
win there with that
to
defense,
get to the Super Bowl.
But it's a tall order.
Yeah.
Okay,
it'll
so if I said to you guys, okay, the Bears played their first playoff game and they get Minnesota. So that means they would play them back-to-back weeks. And Minnesota came in and upset the Bears. So the season's over. No playoff wins.
Yeah, I'd be disappointed.
You're suddenly disappointed. You are.
No question about it.
The context of this year changed. Number one, when Khalil Mack was traded here. Number two, when they beat the Rams like a drum last night. Everything now has shifted. Now you're thinking bigger. Now you have a defense that can stop the number one team in the NFL. So, of course, you want to win a playoff
like,
game.
Of course, I want to see them win the Super Bowl. But if you said to me, hey, they played whoever it is, Carolina or this team or that team in round one
at Soldier Field,
and they beat them, and then they went to L.A. and they lost to the Rams, I'd be like, okay, I'm okay with that. Add on a couple more pieces in free agency, see where you go.
It's a step in the evolution of a young team and a young head coach. And obviously they've taken so many jumps. They've pushed the development curve way ahead. So, yeah, people will be disappointed if the playoff route ends early. But the reality of it is they're going to have to win probably two games on the road in order to have a chance
this
to get
feels
to the Super Bowl.
Like, this feels like the 2015 Cubs, the 2009 Blackhawks, a team ahead of schedule one year. And anything that happens in the postseason, I mean, yeah, you win a playoff game, but after that, then it's like, okay, that's gravy.
It also feels to me like the 84 Bears who went into the playoffs. And
I don't remember that.
One at Washington.
I don't remember that so much, Dave.
Dave and I do.
Yeah. Sort of.
Google
different,
it.
Different context.
That team went into Washington, were 23-19 winners in their first game on a halfback option from Walter Payton to number 88, Pat Dunsmore. And everyone went,
Pat
oh,
Dunsmore.
My God. This team.
Sounds like Grabstein all
How
of a sudden.
How about that?
Scary.
Man.
This team can win. And then they went to San Francisco and were 23-0 losers.
Did you predict the 84 Bears would win nine games?
I did not. But I did predict this team would win nine games.
Really? I hadn't heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Nice call.
My pockets are swollen. You know, yesterday, Matt Nagy, I thought the Santa's sleigh play.
Yeah.
He's making it fun, not only for the fans, he's engaging every one of his guys on his roster.
Now I'll defer to David, who played college football. I hated this play.
Why?
You put four defensive linemen in there, and you're asking an offensive tackle to catch the ball. What if the thing goes horribly wrong?
Mark, I hear you. I think from a football purist standpoint, you have some problems with it. But there's nothing about the football purist that this Bears team kind of represents. They are unorthodox. They are creative.
Sure.
And they put four defensive linemen in an offensive huddle, and it worked.
If you're up by two touchdowns, I could see it. But this was really a critical point in the game. And they only put it in Friday. We found out afterwards that they just put this in for installation on Friday. And you're asking these guys to execute it in a need possession? I don't know.
And, guys, the line of the night from Sowell after the game, he goes, I had more fantasy points than Todd Gurley did.
How about that?
Yeah.
And I liked it because it's in character. It's not out of character. It wasn't something that you hadn't seen before. They keep pulling out new stops.
And he said that he told Trubisky on Friday, hey, throw it up really high. Just throw it up there. I'll go get it. But you got to put the ball up. So he did, and he went and got it. Now, Mitchell was not good.
It was his best throw of the night to Sol.
No question. he was not good.
No.
If he can be average with that defense, who knows how far you can go.
Oh, really, Cap? I've said that all season long, and you keep saying, oh, he's got to be this, he's got to be that. No. He cannot lose you a game. He doesn't have to be the reason you win, but he can't be the reason you lose.
All right, we've got to take a timeout. Mark, thank you for your time. Have a great show today.
Coming up in 15 minutes.
You got it. More Bulls Convo next as they battle Sacramento on Authentic Fan Night. There's a look at Zach LaVine.
Fresh haircut.
Ready to go. Fresh haircut.
Yeah.
I got one today, too. Be right back.
What's up?
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
I think we're right where we're supposed to be. I expected something like yesterday to happen. I've been waiting on it. I've been prepared for it. We took it head on. You know, change is difficult. It's raw. It's tough. These jobs are about managing everybody's fear. Everybody's fear. And as a head coach, you got to manage everybody's fear and keep the thing moving along. And that's what we're trying to do. And I expected all of this, and it's all good.
It's all good. And when we get the great Casey Johnson here on our set from the Chicago Tribune, thank you for taking time for
us.
My pleasure. Okay, so there's been varying accounts of what went on yesterday. How would you describe, from your seat on the beat, what happened yesterday?
I mean, it was significant. I mean, players were upset. And anytime there's a group text exchange about the head coach, it's probably not a good thing. So it was a significant development, but I will say that Sunday was a positive day for everyone, for everyone from Jim Boylan to the most disgruntled player. They got their frustrations out. Obviously, a 2-hour team meeting, and now we got to see if it takes hold. If the positive day on Sunday takes hold, because it certainly could go haywire again.
If Jim Boylan pulled you aside off the record and said, "Okay, I respect you. You've been around this team a long time. This first week has been it's been tough for me. The adjustment change is hard. I'm second-guessing myself. What do you think I could have done better? What would you say?"
If he said that?
If he's seeking advice.
What could I have done better?
What could he have done better?
I mean, the biggest thing, I mean, I'm just a beat writer, whatever. But here's the thing that offended my NBA sensibilities was when he pulled the starters 2 minutes, 58 seconds into the second half. Yeah. The first one, nobody liked it, but they understood it.
Right.
They came out, they laid an egg, and they you know, the new coach trying to send a message. That second one, you don't do that, in my opinion. 2:58 in, 5-3 Celtics, you just don't do that.
Hey, Casey, I don't understand one thing, and I was standing right next to him when he said it. He said he expected this to happen yesterday. If you said you expected this to happen, it's almost like you're saying you pushed them into doing this.
I keep trying to tell people that this is not – I mean, not only is Jim being true to himself, this is an organizational mandate.
This is by design.
This is from management and ownership to push these guys out of their comfort zone because they felt that the comfort zone had been too – comfortable.
Laissez-faire.
It had been too established in the old regime.
Big picture, do you think the management feels like, okay, we have the right core talent-wise. Now we need to make sure we have the right core approach-wise, and this is part of that coaching change. This is part of that growth process.
100%. And everybody's back tonight except Denzel Valentine, which I'm sure Fred Hoiberg would have liked to the opportunity to coach.
Of which Robin Lopez said earlier today he wished that his old coach would have had this opportunity. And that was sort of interesting as well.
Yeah, well, Robin was a big fan of Fred. And look, a lot of the players were big fans of Fred, and Fred thought he was going to get this opportunity, but they made the change.
Chris Dunn, Bobby Portis, those guys are competitors. Those guys will bring some toughness. How much do you
expect? Actually, I think they're going to bring energy and spirit.
Wow. Do you think that deep down, you said this is a mandate from upper management, that if guys don't compete and they go out tonight and lose by 57 points this time, that it's, okay, we don't have the right guys here, and then all bets are off on how they're going to handle this thing, but obviously the message isn't being received well.
John Paxson is on record multiple times as saying this season is about finding out who fits. So that the process starts now. They're finally whole except for Denzel, who's obviously out for the season. They've made the coaching change. Who fits?
And that clearly isn't just from a basketball standpoint. That's from a
culture,
mental
culture,
toughness standpoint.
Culture standpoint.
I think this is a test of mental toughness. What I keep hearing from Jim Boylan is that this team was soft, and he is here to shape them up.
Look at the coaching change. John obviously inherited Bill Cartwright from Jerry Krause, but moved to Scott Skiles. John, you know, obviously signed off on Fred Hoiberg, but we all know Gar Forman ran point on that, right? So now he's moved from Fred Hoiberg to Jim Boylan. To me, there's a lot of similarities there.
How many times in sports, basketball, baseball, across the board, you see the good, soft, easy coach, then the hard, you-know-what coach, then back to the soft, easy coach? Let's
run it down. Bill Cartwright, Scott Skiles, Vinny Del Negro, Tom Thibodeau, Fred Hoiberg, Jim Boylan. Boom.
Yeah, they're running the let's-go-opposite playbook time after time.
It happens in all sports.
Okay, at what point in the season – if things don't turn around where you see more competitiveness, you see a few wins on the ledger, do they go, okay, this is not going to work here. Now we may as well just try and see how many we can lose, or John is not on board with doing any of that this year.
I can't answer that. I mean, it's speculative, and I actually think with the guys back, they're going to be better. I mean, the East is awful.
How much better should they be?
I think they can play close to, you know, 40-45% ball the rest of the way because, you know, the East is bad and they're at full strength. So I think, you know, it's been so hard to judge this season, which is why Fred thought he was going to get more time.
The blowouts better be over. That's
yes.
the thing.
Yes.
You know, the embarrassing losses, the Golden States, the
yes.
Boston Celtics, those have got to be things of the past because you have to see a competitiveness that you haven't seen to this point. I think that's going to be how you measure this team.
And there's been a lot of them. I mean, Golden State, Toronto, yeah, I'm probably missing some. But yeah.
They all run together.
Yeah.
But it's also been more than just the blowout in the games. And talking to some of the upper management people, they were describing to me what goes on in practices, what's been going on in the locker room. They did not like, as you use the word culture, the attitude and how they approach things. That's why they made the change that they did in coaching.
Cap wants to know how competitive tonight's game will be because he's got the Bulls in 51.
Yeah.
You gamble?
Not at all. I would hope that they would take the court tonight and there would at least be some spirit. Even if they're mad at the guy sitting on the bench, that those guys, the players, were together.
They've done it 2 out of the 3 first games under Jim. And obviously Saturday's was a spectacular loss, historic loss. And, you know, the Indiana game was competitive. They beat a good Oklahoma City team here at home, and now they got another opportunity tonight. They absolutely need to respond given what happened yesterday.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
You guys too. All right. I get them all the time. It's rare we get you, so thanks a lot. That is a wrap here for Sports Talk Live on Bulls Authentic Fan Night. Again, go to our website. You get more at NBCSportsChicago.com. We're back in the studio tomorrow. Have a great night. Bulls pregame live with Mark and the guys coming up next. See ya.